Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. You've made it to the end of the work week. Congratulations. If you've read the Morning Jolt, you'll know that Jim Garrity is doing yeoman's duty today. He was up and back to New York and is still with us after limited sleep. So Jim's commitment to you, the listener, and his reader.
Oh, I'm good, Greg. Let's roll on this. Let me know when we get started. Oh, we're rolling. Okay.
To martini number one now.
Thank goodness I didn't have a Bob Beckel moment. Carry on.
Exactly right. On to martini number one now, the good martini. And overall, Jim, I think it's been a pretty good week for Mitt Romney. He's stayed on message. Yesterday, one of our concerns was how the super PAC targeting Obama's relationship with Jeremiah Wright would play. Romney jumped into that and said he wanted no part of that, which shows that his political antennae, I think, are pretty keen at this point. Others may disagree on that, I know. At the same time, though, if any super PAC does anything that the Democrats don't like, they're going to blame him and say he had the power to stop it. He's doing better in polls. We know he's up by 8 points in North Carolina, according to Rasmussen. We know he's doing much better in favorability ratings than he was just a couple months ago. And he's stayed on message very well. And here's the latest Romney ad explaining what he would do on day one.
What would a Romney presidency be like? Day one, President Romney immediately approves the Keystone Pipeline, creating thousands of jobs that Obama blocked. President Romney introduces tax cuts and reforms that reward job creators, not punish them. President Romney issues order to begin replacing Obamacare with common sense health care reform. That's what a Romney presidency will be like.
Good news, Jim. Romney's at least one person who's not distracted by the bright, shiny objects.
Correct. I think this is a pretty darn good first ad. It was kind of interesting. I was on a call with one of Romney's senior advisors, Rush Schrieffer, this morning, and he had said that this was a ad designed to introduce Americans to Romney and what he would do as president. It's kind of funny to hear that phrase as we've been, you know, listeners to the Three Martini Lunch are probably thinking, wait, this race has been going on for better more than a year now. But right. There are still Americans out there who are, you know, don't have very much knowledge about Mitt Romney. And so this kind of tells you just three big things about his agenda. And obviously, by saying this is going to happen on day one, emphasizes what a high priority they are. Keystone Pipeline, tax cuts and reforms to reward job creators, and then replacing Obamacare. I asked them, were these like the three items that kind of came up best in focus groups or polling? Clearly, you lead with your best pitch. So what were they saying here? And he said, look, one is some of this is a 30-second ad. So you can fit three things in this ad, and so that's what they chose to do. There will be discussion of the debt and deficit and other issues to come down the road, but I think it's pretty good. I think that there's a lot that those are three very basic. They're both broad and specific enough in terms of their level of goals. I think this is the other thing that's kind of struck me is both the narrator and the music and the tone. It kind of reminded me of Morning in America, Greg.
Right.
And what's interesting is that Morning in America was an ad for an incumbent president, Ronald Reagan, talking about how great the country was doing in 1984 as he faced the voters again. In a way, Romney in this ad is promising, I'm going to give you the Morning in America that you feel like you should be enjoying here. There's this picture of one moment there's a I don't know if he's lifting a garage door or something, but one of the iconic moments of the Morning in America ad is a citizen putting his flag, the American flag, up a flagpole. And it just kind of is this tone of optimism, this tone of accomplishment, this we can do that. And I think it's a good, strong chord for Romney to strike with this. So we'll see. This is a national ad. They did a Spanish language version as well. Apparently, this is going to run in all the swing states. I couldn't get the specific markets or size of the buy out of them. But my guess is this will be pretty sizable because it's this is a key point in the election that people are not quite certain what they think of Mitt Romney yet. As I said, he's being introduced to them, and he kind of needs to dispel all of the misinformation that's going to come out from, you know, he bullied kids and put the dog crate on the car roof and all the other stories that will be coming out, all the shiny objects, as we say, that will be being distributed like chaff from the Obama campaign.
Yeah, and you mentioned an issue I think some people might have thought was left out of that ad, and that's the debt. As you mentioned from your conversation with one of his advisors, that is coming in a later ad. And if anyone thought that Mitt wasn't focused on that, he had a running debt clock behind him at one of the events earlier this week. So it is on the radar screen. And apparently there is a difference here because Mitt Romney's, at least on the surface, opposed to more debt. Apparently, the Obama administration is upset that the debt ceiling debate is coming again, but not for the reason you might think. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, as we transition to martini number two, sitting down with Jeffrey Brown of PBS, who mentions that the debt ceiling debate is coming again, and that greatly frustrates Tim Geithner, but not for the reason you might think. Here we go.
Here we are again this week where the debt limit question has bubbled up. Do you see...
Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
I can. I don't understand it.
You can't understand because why?
Because look at how much damage it caused the country last August. I mean, it was terribly damaging to the country. And the idea you can govern effectively at this time in American history, you know, we're fighting wars. We've got a major financial crisis in Europe. We have all these challenges to us as a country with political politicians threatening to default if we don't adopt a partisan political agenda. It's deeply irresponsible. There's no basis for it.
Politicians are one thing, but political politicians are something I cannot.
They're my least favorite of all, Greg. You know
exactly.
So observation is this is kind of it reminds me of that old Fawlty Towers routine. Don't bring up the debt. In Fawlty Towers, it was don't bring up the war to a pair of German guests staying in England not too long after World War II. He makes a comment. He begins his comment. It's just so ridiculous to think we can govern effectively. Secretary Geithner, I agree. I deeply agree. It is ridiculous to think that you can govern effectively. We've seen what we've got. What he really does seem very bothered by the fact that people are worried about the debt and that they would want spending cuts. Right. Now, you can argue whether the spending cuts are too big or where they're going to be allocated. Sure, fine. You know, we can get into that. But the fact that Republicans have the audacity to say, look, we have this massive debt problem. We really, you know, you can only stop the debt problem by taking in more money, which we actually have had. Slightly better than expected tax revenues in the past year. Not phenomenally better, but slightly better. But the spending has just continued at its ridiculous pace. I believe in March it was the single – March of this year had the single highest expenditures in the federal government in American history. And as I think I've said in one of those one of these previous sessions with you, Greg, we spent on what? where's our stuff that we're spending all this money on? We're not in Iraq anymore. We are winding down in Afghanistan. TARP and the stimulus, all of these things are supposed to be, have spent their way through the system. What is all this money going for? It is a strange phenomenon to see the Treasury Secretary very, very bothered by people complaining that we need to reduce spending and almost like offended that they have the audacity to bring it up.
Absolutely. You think when he – at first, when he's shocked, any rational person would be like, well, of course he's disappointed that less than a year after they raised the debt ceiling by almost another $1 trillion that we're already back here. But no, he's offended that people don't want that to be the policy in perpetuity, apparently. And the fact that we're not just going to rubber stamp it either disappoints him or shocks him. But so hopefully the Republicans will stand strong on this. It sounds like John Boehner plans to. We'll see if that eventuality happens. As one member of Congress told me earlier in the week, if the president thinks this will be politically advantageous to have a vote before November, we will. And if he thinks it's politically advantageous to wait till after the election, he will, because basically he gets to decide when the debt ceiling has actually been breached within reason. So Mick Mulvaney of South Carolina making that comment. But on to martini number three now, Jim. And, for years, the president has mocked those who have questioned his constitutional eligibility to hold the office, because, of course, you have to be a natural-born citizen, and there's ongoing debates among different folks about what natural-born means. But the president has always claimed that he was born in Hawaii in August of 1961, except apparently when he submitted his bio for a literary publication about 20 years ago, in which it says Barack Obama was born in Kenya, raised in Indonesia and Hawaii. So for a guy who's claiming that he's always the victim of these sorts of grand conspiracies, either he's a really bad proofreader or he's not helping his own cause here.
Yeah, and let's, make all of the standard prefaces. Barack Obama was born in 1961 in Honolulu, Hawaii. He is not a Kenyan secret agent. He is not a clone of a real Barack made in Kenya or any of those other conspiracy theories you've heard out there. What makes this amusing is a couple things. One, this probably came out of a routine misinterpretation of either talking to young Barack Obama Jr. when he probably mentioned that his father was born in Kenya and some publicist's notes got mixed up or something. But what I think is that people would say, well, what's the big deal about this? Well, it kind of comes on the heels of the Elizabeth Warren, her being 1/32nd Cherokee Indian. At least she claims so much. It sounds like the evidence that the genealogists were pointing to never actually existed. It was based on an amateur newsletter that did not actually have the document in question to verify that Cherokee heritage there. And so what somebody was pointing out is you have Barack Obama and Elizabeth Warren, two people who came through Harvard, and in the case of Warren, either made up or extraordinarily exaggerated a claim of exoticness, a claim of having a connection to a tribal ethnic community that she really had no genuine cultural connection to. And in the case of Obama, this may be an innocent mistake, but you know, as I was at the Hannity taping last night, one of the interesting topics of the question was, at some point, as Obama is this young author trying to promote himself as a young rising star in the realm of law and politics, whether that was ever touted, that whether he was ever misrepresented as a classic immigrant success story. Certainly this publicist did. It's kind of fascinating that this has been sitting around for so long and that a guy who was running for president, this never, you know, nobody ever came across this until Breitbart and his gang decided we have to start looking into the background of the president. This is not some giant smoking gun of illegitimacy on the part of the president. It's just kind of fascinating that this perception is that he really was born in Kenya, has existed throughout his career, and there's really no record of Obama ever saying, oh, this is wrong, you got to fix this. You know, it's kind of fascinating that this could be wrong, and you know, in something that was, in most cases, my understanding is the information was submitted by the subjects themselves. No one has proven that Obama deliberately misrepresented himself as an immigrant, but it is certainly not astonishingly unthinkable in light of things like this. So, you know, just got a little thing to keep in mind as we close out the week. As you know, I have a feeling the Breitbart folks have more on this front, and always going to be interesting what these guys find.
Yeah, we'll find out. And if Mitt Romney gets asked about this, his answer should be jobs, Keystone Pipeline, jobs.
Repeal Obamacare. Absolutely, yes.
Exactly right. Jim, get some sleep. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.